For our sermon tonight, we have our Psalm of the Month. Our Psalm of the Month is 122b. So please join me at Psalm 122. That's on page 629 in the Pew Bible. As I read Psalm 122, please consider that it is the voice of Christ. Please consider that it was the Spirit of Christ that carried the psalmist along, and see if you can recognize the voice of your Savior. See if you can recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd who has loved you and has given himself up for you. You'll notice immediately his joy to be present in the midst of the assembly. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. As we see the heart and the spirit of Christ, what encouragement is it for us, for Jesus Christ to look at us, to meet with us, and announce to us, I will seek your good. It is a beautiful place to which we have been brought. As we look at our lives and we consider the tensions that are here, look at the struggles that are here, many of us are beat up. Many of us are hurt. Many of us are sorrowful. Many of us are weak, even now. And yet Christ says, peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. And he says to you, I will seek your good. How do you say that to someone who is broken, who is injured, who's wounded, who is bleeding, to someone that you have had the full authority and the full power to govern and to guard and to protect? How does Christ say that to you? I ask you then, in what way has Christ sought your good? Has he been broken? Hasn't he bled? Hasn't he done everything that is necessary for your eternal good? We see Christ's heart here in this psalm. This psalm is given to you for your encouragement. This psalm is given to us to sing to one another, that we will know the heart of Christ. And that as we have the heart of Christ, we will have this same heart towards one another. Remember the words of Paul, who said he wished that he himself could be cut off, if it could mean the rescue for his brethren. It is the heart of Christ. So as we consider the great love that is on us, that great commitment that has been demonstrated for us, I call you to this place to have that same heart, the heart of Christ Jesus, that we would love one another. Our first step is to love Christ's heart for you. He speaks and he says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It is a beautiful truth that Jesus went to church. Jesus regularly went to the synagogue. He went there and he went to the temple. He taught and he preached and he assembled with the people there. I don't know about you. I am not always eager to go to church. You may gasp in your own heart right now. My pastor doesn't want to go to church. But I must. I must. I must go to church. You may think it's because I won't get paid if I don't. I could find another job, I assure you. But I must come to church. Last week when I was at the soccer tournament, I was talking to a young man and I was asking him about his salvation and how he had come to Christ and his understanding of the gospel. And he asked me, he said, "Well, how did you become a preacher?" And I told him the same story that I have told you many times, that I was, after I was saved, I was reading the scripture and it said, "All those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him in whom they haven't heard?" And then I could barely get through it because of my spiritual and emotional exhaustion at that point. And I finished it with where it says, "And how will they hear without a preacher?" I'm here because I must be. I must be because I am your preacher. I have been called to be here, an appointment by Christ. You, none of you yet, apparently, have been called to be a teaching elder. And yet, you are called to be here. You are appointed to be here. You have been appointed to be here by Christ's love for you. We love because he first loved us. And he explains to us, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." We turn our hearts to love Christ's love for us. We love again because he first loved us. We are to love his presence as we assemble together. Matthew 1:23, "They shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. We look at these verses here and we see that we are standing within God's gates, that we are standing within Jerusalem. We understand that to be the household of God. I was glad to hear them saying to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." We could say this and we could translate this, Jesus' place. I was glad to go to Jesus' place. I was glad to be invited into his home. I was glad to go to his house. And we understand that we were told in Matthew 18:20 that where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is there with us in our midst. 1 Timothy 3:15 explains that the church is the very household of God. You are assembled now in Jesus' house. This is how we are together. This is why we are together. There is one God, one baptism, one Savior, one faith. And you and I, we say, we believe that. We believe that. Whatever differences you and I have between us, we believe that. We believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. We believe that he has spoken to us in his word, and we are committed to this reality. We see in verse 8, Christ says, "For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I bless you." It is Christ's heart to bless us, and I call you to that affection for him, as he has loved you, to love in return, to cultivate that love as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our second step is to have the heart of Christ for his people. That you and I would be in the place where we're not so much thinking of ourselves, but we could also say, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the Lord's house. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to Jesus' place. As we are His family and we are His household. We know this great love that is given to us, John 15:13, that we are to love in the same way that we have been loved. As Christ has pursued us, we would love and we would pursue one another. To go to the house of the Lord. To have that same heart in verse 8. For the good of my brothers and my friends. That love that we see in verse 9. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God. We say, I will seek your good. That you will be committed to my good. That I will be committed to your good. This true love, this commitment to each other's eternal good, that you will be committed to one another's eternal good, that we will be that kind of household, that we will be that kind of family. And yes, very often it'll look like moving beyond the polite to deal with the necessary, to speak the truth in love. So as we are loving Christ's heart for us, as we are having the heart of Christ for one another, we come to the place, and this is our third step, trust Christ and be in God's household. Verse 2, our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is that city of peace. Sometimes this peace seems to elude us, doesn't it? Where is the peace? We have the tensions. We have the wrestlings. We have the struggling. We have these problems that we may have with one another. Problems with those outside. Problems with those inside. But this peace that we have, first and foremost, is the ministry of reconciliation. That the kingdom of God is at hand. That He has loved us and He has blessed us. That He has washed away our sin. That He has made us righteous in His own sight. When Jesus came and He began to preach in Mark 1:14-15, it says He proclaimed the gospel, saying, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. His kingdom is His household. In Luke 17:21, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Some people like to take that and make it just this mystical thing in our own individual heart. But more accurately, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within yins. Or if He was preaching in the south, the kingdom of heaven is in y'all. The kingdom of heaven is the assembly. Is the assembly. We have these different vessels. We have these different limbs. We are assembled together. You rub me the wrong way sometimes. That's because I'm not the arm. I'm the mouth. I rub you the wrong way sometimes. That's because I'm the mouth and you're the arm. You might not want to hear everything that I have to say, and I certainly don't want to hear everything that you have to say. And yet, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need each other. We need each other. I may not always like you, but I need you. You may not always like me, but like it or not, you need me. You may not always like one another, but believe it or not, you need each other. This is the kingdom of God. This is God's household. You and I, as living stones, being built up into a temple of worship, which brings us to our next step, to have close community. Verse 3, Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together. When I have hated traveling, and it's taken me a while to realize why I've hated traveling. It's because we used to have an Omni. It's this little itty bitty car. And I have a brother and a sister. And we used to go on vacation together in the Omni. And we would bring our blankets in and our snacks and our pillows. And me and my brother and sister, we were jammed in the back of this little car, and we drive all the way to Myrtle Beach. And I remember having my shoes on and my feet getting tangled in a blanket and the feeling of being claustrophobic, stuck in there, and my sister touching me and my brother breathing on me. It was a terrible experience. I don't like to travel because of it. Here we have attention that is offered as we are to be a city that is built compact together. It's tough. Relationships are messy. Somewhere as rightly said, relationships are a mess worth making. We need each other. And we had that threat, that warning that we saw this morning in Proverbs 18:1. He who separates himself, he rallies against. He seeks his own desire and he rallies against all sound wisdom. That dangerous separation where we put ourselves off and we ignore everyone else. But John 13:34, Jesus speaks to us and says, "Love one another as I have loved you." In Galatians 6:2, we're given this instruction, "Bear one another's burdens." Remember this "one another" word. It's one word in the Greek. It's a reciprocal. I'm doing it for you as you are doing it for me. Bear one another's burdens. Confess your sins to one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. What we read in Ephesians 4:1-3, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness." Understand, humility and gentleness take place in the midst of community and relationship. How are you being humble or gentle when you're just with yourself? "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Ephesians 4:32. "Be kind and tender-hearted towards one another, forgiving one another, as Christ has forgiven you." In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing." So as we come to worship, as we would come to church, our fifth step is come for community and relationship. Because you can come and just warm a pew. But we come for community. We come for relationship. Verse 4, the first part, "to which the tribes go up," even the tribes of the Lord. The tribes are families. The families are coming up. And they are the families of the Lord, the families that belong to the Lord. In this place, we are to be in the place where we are also existing as family. And perhaps you have a bad family background and you say, "Ew, I'd rather not. Thank you very much. I've had enough tension. I've had enough pain from family in my life." Here we see a different sort of family, a family in which Christ is the head and God is our Father. We see this instruction given to operate as family members, and it's given to us this way in 1 Timothy 5, that we're to relate to older men as fathers, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters in all purity. We see in verse 8 this commitment that we have to the household and to the family. "For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I bless you." We see in verse 4, it's an ordinance, a command that we come together. We understood that in the older covenant, and that carried over into the newer covenant, in Hebrews 10:25, that we are not to forsake our own assembling. A commitment to be here, a commitment to care for one another, a commitment to be family together. And as we come together, one of our chief roles and our chief work, we see in verse 6 step, is to give Jesus thanks together. Verse 4, the second half, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel. And why do we come? Why do we come? To give thanks to the name of the Lord. Why do you go to church? People will ask you that eventually. Why would you go to church? And here's a biblical reason: to give thanks to the name of the Lord. The name, as it's described here, the name, or as it's expressed here, it embodies all of his character, all of his characteristics, his justice and his holiness and his compassion. We understand that the name of the Lord is Jesus, that it is Yahweh saves, this rescue that we have been given. We give thanks for the rescue that we have been given in Christ Jesus, and we do it as family. How beautiful and how much peace can we have between one another when we are coming together for the same purpose, to give thanks to Jesus Christ for our rescue, for our salvation. Colossians 3:16, as we are coming together, it says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." The word of Christ is the scripture. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another. So we have the word of Christ that we're using for teaching and we're using for admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness. And there we are to that place of thankfulness again. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. What do you have in common? What do we have in common? We have one God, one Father. We have one Savior. He is our rescuer who laid his life down for us. Ephesians 4:4-6, there is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. You have been brought to a beautiful place. You, even tonight, have been brought to a beautiful place. That you have a King who is over you. A King who has loved you. A King who has shown it by laying his life down for you. A King who has given you his very Spirit to bring you together with one another, to give thanks to the name of the Lord within his house. You have been so loved. You have been so loved. And from this place, and in this place, and having this command and this instruction from Christ, who loved us and gave up himself for us, he tells us, love one another as I have loved you. Let's pray. Father, we exalt you. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in your Son, Jesus Christ, who has laid his life down and has rescued us. We thank you for the saving faith that you have given us to trust in Jesus Christ. We thank you for making us members of one another. We thank you for giving us each other. We thank you for calling us together, even tonight. And we thank you for the opportunity to give you your praise. Father, please help us as we are wounded, and help us where we are injured. Please strengthen the limbs that are weak. Father, may we pursue you and may we love you. And please, Lord, where we lack the love in our hearts, please fill those areas that we can love and that we can forgive even as we have been forgiven. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.